Welcome to the Campfire Committee, Outside and Fireside, a podcast to explore and discover the joy of camping and being in the great outdoors.
I'm Allison Logan.
And I'm Steph Pavan. We're your hosts.
This season, we're stepping up our camping game and going beyond the basics. Whether you're an expert camper or you're new to all of this, we're creating a camping community to share the many lessons and stories, tips and tricks, and all the fun that comes with getting outside and fireside.
We're bringing you into the world of camping and inviting you to join the Campfire Committee community. Remember to download, subscribe, and follow us on social at the Campfire Committee so you don't miss an episode or any new fun bits.
This podcast is about camping, and though we camp primarily in Ontario, we would like to recognize the Indigenous past, present, and future with a land acknowledgement for Toronto, where we live and make this podcast.
We recognize that we are on the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and this city is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people.
We also acknowledge that Toronto is covered by Treaty 13, signed by the Mississaugas of the Credit, and the Williams Treaty, signed with multiple Mississaugas and Chippewa bands.
We always aim to grow our understanding of and respect for the diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people in Toronto, Ontario, and Canada. And we seek to forge better relationships and celebrate this land with those whom have historically called this place their home as we visit these places to camp. And we encourage our listeners to do the same.
Now, let's light this campfire.
Hey, Al.
Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
So today we brought along another member of the Campfire Committee to join us, introducing Mr. Ryan Grischuk.
Woo!
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here today.
So Ryan is my spouse, and we've spent the last half decade plus camping together. Ryan also grew up spending lots of time camping. So in the time we've been together, we've been able to learn and pick up some tips and tricks from each other.
Exactly. And after a few seasons, we've come to figure out what works best for us.
For sure.
So we've got Ryan, a lover of food and cooking in all aspects, but particularly on the campsite, joining our discussion today. Do you want to tell the listeners what we're going to be talking about?
Sure. Today we're going to be getting into all things food prep and packing.
That's right. Something that I think we all know is important is to make sure you have enough food and that it's safely packed and as prepped as possible so you're not just spending the whole time in the campground cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless you want to, of course.
Well, fair.
I think it would be fair to say that you and I, Ryan, in particular, we love this part. Planning out a menu that will be tasty, but also thinking ahead and prepping as much as possible at home to make life easier once you're out there.
Definitely love the fact that prepping makes it easier to cook and eat good food while out in the woods. But you need to factor in the time before you get there to get it all done. For example, items that you're going to freeze should make their way to the freezer at least 48 hours prior to departure.
I've come to appreciate how especially prepping any meat in advance can lead to some of the easiest and tastiest meals, like smoked turkey breast at Thanksgiving or our annual staple of pulled pork.
Exactly. Both of those items are pre-cooked, vac-packed, and frozen, so you simply need to reheat and serve. The time and effort in advance definitely makes a huge difference once you're on the campsite.
Which is why we want to get into all kinds of ideas for what food you can prep, but we're also going to talk about some of the basics. If you take away all the pizzazz, what are the bare necessities that you want to make sure you have with you for food and water?
And also some thoughts on how to go about packing and storing your food. Both so that you can easily get to what you need while you're on your campsite, but also so that your food is safe from dirt, animals, and the temperature danger zone where bacteria breeds and flourishes.
I'm a stickler for safety.
We know.
Okay, so where do we begin?
Let's start off with menu planning. No point talking about prepping and packing until you actually know what you're going to need. Planning a menu for camping can be fun or challenging, depending on whether you like to cook or not, or whether you're throwing something together for a last-minute camping trip.
Even though some people may prefer to just pack some cans of beans and soup, some PB&J, a few jugs of water, and call it a day, we definitely recommend at least taking some time to think about what you're going to eat and when. You don't want to end up a meal short or anything like that. So menu planning can be as simple as making sure you have enough random food and drink items for the number of people and the number of meals.
Taking it a step further and actually thinking about some meals that you'd enjoy beyond the camping staples of hot dogs on the fire will let you bring a bit of the comfort of home with you to the campground through food. It can also be an opportunity to try out some different meals that you wouldn't try at home under normal circumstances.
Cooking over an open fire isn't something that you get to do very often in the city, so camping is the perfect time to plan a meal where you'll use that as your main heat source.
Exactly.
Knowing what you have available for how you're going to be cooking your food is a great way to start thinking about what you're going to make. If you don't want to cook all of your meals on a fire, but you don't have a stove of any kind, you're going to want to think about the kinds of cold meals you can bring. That way you're not stuck when you need to light another fire when it comes time to start dinner, and all you want to do is keep playing another round of cards or go for another swim.
Definitely knowing yourself and your cooking styles, as well as the equipment you have and want to use, is going to make life easier once you're actually on the site, but ultimately means you need to think about it before you've left home.
I think it would be helpful to give an overview of some of the options that you might come across, specifically the ones that we've had experience with, and I look forward to hearing from you, the listeners, about the options that you prefer too.
Good call. Okay, we've got the basic campfire. You can use a grill on there and cook just about anything. Use roasting sticks for marshmallows, hot dogs, and all kinds of other goodies. You can use tinfoil to wrap foods to cook in the coals and use it as a heat source for different cooking equipment.
Like a cast iron pan, Dutch oven, pie pan, popcorn maker, and a large vessel for boiling water.
You can use a charcoal barbecue or use charcoal to heat a Dutch oven. And there's tons of small, portable propane barbecues that also work great.
You've got your good old two-burner camp stove. We love our Eureka stove that can fit two large pans or a full-size griddle, and it has fantastic heat control.
There are all kinds of different one-burner stoves, too. We all love our Jetboil systems that are built for boiling water quickly, but also have the ability to be a one-burner for a decent-sized pan.
And there are standby coffee makers for now, but they have the potential for so much more.
You can also get a large single burner stove that's made for big pots and pans. You've made sure to bring that along on bigger trips.
For sure. I love the big single burner stoves for our large cast iron pans and for getting a big pot of water going for dishes while we sit to eat.
And you can get some really impressive, but a bit intense, standing propane stoves that are multi-burner and the height of a real stand-up stove. You can even get a propane oven if you're really keen to do some baking out there, too.
I think that's getting a bit too much for what we prefer we're in a campground.
But with a large group like Scouts, or when you guys work with the City of Toronto and took 40 middle schoolers camping, or, you know, even just with a big group of family or friends, those kind of setups can make meal cooking so much more enjoyable because you have the size and the power that you need.
That's true. So once you've got a handle on what equipment you've got to make use of, it's time to actually start thinking about the menu and meals.
First step, how long will you be camping? And how many meals does that mean? Is this just a simple, quick weekend trip as a couple or a week-long family vacation? Think about how many days you'll be gone and therefore how many breakfasts, lunches, and dinners you'll need. I like to write out the days and the meals for each day to keep track of this one.
Next, think about, who will you be cooking for? Is it yourself and maybe one other, or is it a group? Maybe there's kids, hungry teens, a picky eater. Are there any dietary restrictions to consider? If you're with other people, are you splitting the food responsibilities with another group?
And then you'll want to think about how your menu lines up with the equipment you have, but also how you actually want to eat your meals. Are you looking for fast, easy meals, or do you want to spend time really getting into the cooking process? Maybe for breakfast, you're thinking you want to do things quickly in your mornings, but have a tasty and hearty start to the day. Bacon, eggs, and hash browns is easy enough to write down for breakfast while you're at home, but with a two-burner stove and a pot of coffee to brew, it takes twice as long to cook on the campsite. This is one place where I think we've learned that sometimes you plan out your meals, but still things don't always go to plan. Especially if you're not totally aware of the amount of time and effort some meals will take and the sheer lack of motivation that you have to cook meals while you're busy and having fun sometimes.
There are a few different philosophies when it comes to cooking, and in all likelihood, you fall into different camps depending on the situation.
On our trips, we've instituted the two-meal idea. Just plan breakfast and dinner. Lunch then becomes an as-needed event, meaning that we bring snacks and other easy options to put together if we find ourselves hungry midday. More often than not, when we've planned an actual meal for lunch, it usually happens way later than planned and pushes dinner back into the evening, and sometimes we've even had to skip dinner because of it, so we just got rid of lunch.
It's true. After a good-sized breakfast, hike, and some other morning activity, then a swim, and then starting to prep for lunch, it's often 2 or 3 p.m. by the time we're eating. And then we weren't hungry for dinner. Now that we've gone to this 2 planned meals idea with options for lunch available, we found that it works better for us. Sometimes it's great to throw together a quick pick-at meal of some fruit and veggies and dip, crackers and cheese, and other times the hunger and motivation are at the level where you want to put something more together, and sometimes it's at the level where you don't want to put anything together at all.
I'm more of a 3 squares a day type person, in part because I'm a real early riser when I'm camping. I can often be up and have breakfast going before most of my friends will get out of bed. And now that I've got Macy, the camping pup, I'm definitely up and out of the tent early. So, easy breakfast or not, I'll get coffee going and could have some granola. I will say I've taken a page from Allison and Ryan's book and opt for more non-cook lunches. Swap more prep at lunch with a super easy breakfast, or plan a late breakfast or brunch combo with a dinner.
Some might opt for 2 easy or self-serve meals and bigger dinners. Early and late risers can eat whenever they please if breakfast and lunch are self-serve. You might enjoy lunch while someone else grabs their breakfast. Cereal, bagels, muffins, granola and fruit for mornings, and sandwiches, wraps, pre-made salads like pasta or bean make midday eats a breeze.
So, when you know how many meals, how many mouths, and what kind of cooking you're game for, all while being aware of the equipment that you have on hand, you're ready to start your menu and meal plan. You'll then have to create a grocery list for what you'll need to buy.
Think about the quantities for each meal, and though it doesn't hurt to have a couple extra servings at some meals, it can be a big waste of food if you cook way more than you can eat.
A great way to plan for the use of leftovers is to make another entire meal out of them the next day, intentionally making enough for double duty. You can straight up have the exact same meal twice, but switching things up and, say, having grilled chicken and veg for dinner the one night and then chicken Caesars for lunch the next day keeps the menu varied enough and adds potential for buying and prepping in bulk.
You said duty.
When we're talking prepping, we mean meals that have been completely pre-cooked and frozen. Meats portioned out, seasoned, and marinating in freezer bags, or better yet, vacuum sealed and labeled. You can also pre-wash and cut veggies for eating raw or cooking with. Although we do suggest trying to keep the fresh produce purchases to the last minute, do that shop the day before or even on your way up to the site if you have time, the inclination, or a store en route.
Vacuum sealing is really great if you have the option, especially for prepping and packing raw meat for camping. All of the air is taken out of the bag, which helps seal in the freshness and prevents freezer burn on the things you'll opt to freeze for the trip. Unlike a resealable bag, which as good as some are, always seems to get waterlogged leading to cross-contamination. But with vacuum-sealed bags, that's just not a worry.
What's your favorite thing to use the vacuum sealer for?
We like butchering meat and mixing it in a marinade before vacuum-sealing it in portions and throwing it in the deep freeze for a few days before we leave, and then we have an easy protein option when we're camping that isn't leaking meat juice everywhere.
Yeah, ew, that meat juice in the cooler is disgusting and to be avoided at all costs. Not only is it gross, but it's something you'll need to clean up immediately because you don't want to have that bacteria contaminating the rest of the items in your cooler and leading to things like food poisoning.
Definitely not. You'll really want to be mindful of storing your meat and other items that need to be refrigerated well and packed with lots of fresh ice. Keep the cooler clean and organized, cold and dry. A lot of coolers have drainage spouts which allow you to remove the ice water a couple times a day as it accumulates. And don't use your food cooler as your drinks cooler, or you'll be letting all the cold air escape every time someone goes for another beer or soda or glass of wine.
Nope. When it comes to prepping the meat, freezing it is definitely the way to go unless you're planning to cook it on the first day or morning after, including your bacon. Keeping it portioned in the sizes that you'll need for the particular meal will also prevent you from having to defrost any extra that you aren't cooking at that time. My favorite meat prep I did last year was making, marinating, and freezing chicken skewers.
You can also prep full meals and freeze those down as well, which is one of my favorite options.
Exactly. You don't need to bring everything raw. In fact, we tend to pre-cook a lot of what we bring with us. You still portion, package, and freeze it down, but the cooking is as simple as reheating the items and serving them, making them super convenient for days when you're planning big events for hikes. Making them super convenient for days when you're planning big events like hikes or canoe trips.
Pulled pork is a fan favorite. It's super easy and can be used for pulled pork sandwiches, tacos, burrito bowls, eggs benny, quesadillas, and the same goes for pulled chicken and beef too. It can be served on a simple bun topped with pre-mixed coleslaw or turned into a burrito bowl with rice, beans, and all the fixings.
Chili stews and soups can be great additions to any menu and are super easy to prep and freeze. You can make each one a meal of its own or combine it with something else. For example, bowls of chili or hot soup and grilled cheese sammies on a rainy day for lunch.
The amount of items that you prep at home versus leave for the campsite comes down to two things, really. How long the prep food will last until it's cooked, and whether or not you want to spend that time and effort doing the prep and cooking at the campsite or at home.
Sometimes enjoying a drink and some music on a nice evening in your outdoor campsite kitchen is the most enjoyable.
And other times you just want to relax by a fire and be able to keep things as easy as possible with quick heating for meals.
Either way, doing some prep at home will keep things organized and more effective while you're actually on the campsite. Instead of having extra packaging or food items to contend with, you'll have the portions and that handled all in advance.
So once you've prepped and purchased everything you need, you'll have to pack it and in a way that makes it easy to find when you need it when you're at the site.
I mean, unless you just want grocery bags and food running amok in the car and a cooler that doesn't quite shut.
Absolutely not.
No. Definitely not something that any of us would recommend, and we would consider an absolute horror within our own bins and vehicles.
Okay, so thinking of the things that you'll be packing, you'll have the need to refrigerate items, your produce items, pantry items, snacks, and drinks.
First up, your refrigerator items are going to require a cooler. And unless you're on a hydro site or have some kind of generator to make an electric cooler run, you're going to need ice to keep that cooler cold. Freezing your food whenever possible helps to keep things cold at the start, but you'll need to add fresh ice to the cooler regularly during your trip to make sure your cooler maintains refrigerator temperatures.
Put your frozen meat and meals at the bottom, along with any heavy items like jars and bottles.
Then put in your dairy, like the cheese, or other medium weight items like the cold cuts or veggies and fruit or eggs.
Then keep the light things on top, like lettuce or those items that need to be kept cool, not for safety reasons, but things like chocolate that will just melt in a hot car.
I like to keep a small plastic basket in my cooler that came from the dollar store and lets me keep some smaller items right on top and not worry about losing them in the depths of the cooler. Makes an easy spot to keep the chocolate and marshmallows so that they aren't melting in the car and are easy to find for s'mores in the dark.
If you have enough food that you'll be using two coolers, we suggest splitting things up so that one is the meat and cheese and other things like that, and the second can be where you keep your produce and items that you'll be reaching for more often.
And then there are things like onions, potatoes, bananas, and even bread that you don't need or want to keep in the cooler. Have a basket, bin, or reusable grocery bags for these kind of items. You can also keep your snack items, like chips, for example, in this kind of storage container as well.
Another bin to pack up at home and have easily accessible from your car on the site is the pantry bin, with all of those things that you typically keep in your pantry at home. The oil, the vinegar, coffee, sugar, tea, salt, pepper, spices, all the must-haves.
The non-perishables like oatmeal, pancake mix, maybe some soup cans, pasta, cake or cookie mix, canned and jarred items like the peanut butter.
The protein powder.
And if it's just me and Sash for a couple of nights where we have less food, the pantry bin becomes a catch-all for the food that doesn't go in the cooler.
If you're planning multiple trips during the season, we suggest stocking up a pantry bin before your first trip and then reuse it for the rest. Restock any items that may be low before your next outing and keep a camping version of pantry items so you don't have to worry about moving things back and forth from your real home pantry and losing items.
You can also buy small camping or travel spice containers for keeping only enough of the things you'll need on hand rather than having to contend with the full-size packaging. And using small containers for the coffee and sugar, for example, helps to keep the pantry bin a reasonable size, but keep staple items in stock.
And I think that just leaves us with the drink cooler. If you can fit that in, of course.
We always make sure there's room for that.
Yeah.
Not only for cold wine or beer, but also for a bag of ice to add to my drinks and water bottle on a hot day. I'm not going to use the ice from the meat cooler.
Exactly. We don't want drinks in the food coolers, adding to the possibility of cross-contamination, people. Keeping your drinks cold, reusable water bottles, soda, juice, wine, beer, or whatever you prefer is such a nice treat when you're up north in the middle of the summer on a hot day with no electricity and no air conditioning. An ice-cold drink is a necessity of survival at that point, and I don't ever over-exaggerate.
Yeah, no, never. No.
Yeah.
But that is true. I agree. Nothing beats a cold sip and then a dip in the lake on a hot day. Is there anything else that we want to cover when it comes to packing the food?
I think the other thing to mention is that you want to remember to keep your food stored in your vehicle while you're camping. I'm sure it's been mentioned or will be mentioned again, but the best way to keep animals, big or small, away from your site is to keep it clean, and that includes keeping your food stored away.
And away doesn't mean in your tent. Those nylon walls will not keep out any hungry animals. A hard-sided vehicle is your best means of keeping your food safe and secure.
You can also rent bear boxes from a number of parks if you don't have the car space to store your food. I've seen a number of people camping with motorcycles making good use of this option.
I wonder if Camper Sue's got anything to say about food storage when you're in a camping trailer.
Hi, it's Camper Sue here. To just briefly touch on food storage in a pop-up trailer. We have a fridge in our trailer, which is a three-way fridge, which means it runs on propane, hydro, or on the battery. Generally, you would use propane or hydro. We also use an electric cooler on a hydro site that we keep in the pop-up. But other than that, we make a point of not storing any food or things with scents, like our toiletries, in the pop-up, because really a pop-up is a tent with a hard door. And the scent issues that can attract animals absolutely are the same issues in a tent trailer as they are in. So from a safety point of view, use your vehicle to store your food in. That's about the bottom line of it all. Thanks all.
Thanks, Sue. Great tips. Anything else in this first part of our food two-parter?
I think one of the last things is that ultimately you don't need to stress about the food planning, prep, and packing. It's something we definitely do and recommend so that you're prepared, organized, and not trying to figure things out on the fly each day. But by many parks, there are often small restaurants, cafes, food trucks, and stores that offer you options within a reasonable distance that you can really just live day by day and not worry about any of it in advance.
It's great to support the local economy around the parks you visit, and even though I like to show up as prepared as possible, I also include planning meals at local eateries or replenishing certain items at local stores during the trip. Cooking while camping is lots of fun, so I definitely recommend giving the menu planning and prep a go. And plan to cook a few meals in new ways than you would have at home. It's a lot of fun and allows you to enjoy being in the campground.
I agree. I love cooking while camping, and also prefer to spend my time once I'm camping doing things there as much as possible. But it is always nice to have the option for a quick bite, like chicken fingers or a burger, that you can grab from somewhere nearby, especially on a rainy day or a particularly relaxed day where you don't feel like cooking, even if it was originally planned for.
That's true. I do want to reiterate that planning and prepping in advance is about making life easier for you when you're at the site. Always remember to pack a couple extra cans of soup or a jar of pasta sauce and noodles to use as a just-in-case option when there's a need to pivot from the original plan.
Next time, we're going to talk about setting up your kitchen and cooking on your campsite. We're going to continue to talk about some of the different options for how to get your food prepared, but while you're there, not at home.
We'll share some of our favorite meals, from simple to the extravagant, and hopefully leave you with some ideas that you can take and make your own as you give it a go. Check out our website and social media for ideas on camping meal prep and menu planning.
That's a wrap on another episode. Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to like and subscribe to the Campfire Committee, Outside and Fireside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Remember to share this episode with others to help us expand the Campfire Committee community and pass on the love of camping and the great outdoors.
For more, check out our website, thecampfirecommittee.com, and find us on social media at The Campfire Committee.
And join our Facebook group, a place where you can share your favorite memories, places, and ideas when it comes to all things camping. Also, let us know what camping or outdoors topics you want to hear more about in future episodes, your camping stories, and any other feedback you've got.
Join us next time, Outside and Fireside.
And until then, this campfire has ended.
Before we go, we'd like to thank Sue Logan, better known around here as Camper Sue, for her endless camping knowledge, support, and experience.
And Stephen Pavan, our all-in-one editing team. We couldn't do this without either of you.
And to all the extended members of the Campfire Committee, thank you.
All sound effects that are not our own are from thedevo.net.
Music from Epidemic Sound. For more details on all episodes, see our show notes.